You're listening to Sounds Good. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm your host, Tracy Ross, and I'm joined this morning on the phone by ceramicist Craig Rhodes. How are you this morning, Craig?
I'm great, Tracy. Good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to hear from you. You have an exhibit at the Ruth Bagot Gallery in Paducah. It's been up for, I think, a couple of weeks now, and it's on display through December 24th. We were talking just before we went on the air, and you said that this is a really good representation of where your art's gone in the last couple of years.
That's correct, yes. It's a mix of both new and older work.
There are some beautiful bowls on the Ruth Bagot Gallery's homepage. Most of them are brown on the bottom. There are a couple that have some green or blue colors in them, but the tops are absolutely beautiful and ornate. Could you tell me about your process with these works and what was your inspiration for them?
Yes. It's the newest work that I've been doing. I call them improvisation pots because that kind of describes the process. And basically, it's a combination of a lot of techniques, reduction firing, oxidation. They're multi-fired pots. They are glazed with both high-fire glaze, low-fire glaze. But basically, my thinking or the way I view them is that the unglazed parts that you can see are gestural drawings that are done on the curved surface of these jars instead of a flat surface. And with the line quality occupying three dimensions instead of two dimensions. I know that sounds convoluted, but to visualize the inspiration from that, it creates irregular patterns, which is sort of an oxymoron, but it creates irregular patterns that are similar to the patterns that you can see in nature in sand dunes, especially the sand dunes in the Sahara. And it's my way of combining both my compulsion to do 2D work onto a 3D surface so that I'm involving a third dimension.
I actually noticed that now. I didn't at first, but each of the pots has a different design into the base. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it took some time to figure that out, work it out. It took a few months to actually try to... I had a goal in mind, and then I had to attempt to realize the goal by trial and error.
How long does it take from conceptualization to finishing of one of these pieces? And what part of the process is the most time-consuming?
The most time-consuming process is mixing the clay. The actual throwing and work on the wheel is about 10% of the process. Ceramics, of all the art media, is a laborious medium in terms of preparation, etc. But having said that, I understand your question. I can't really put a time factor on an individual piece because I'm working on 6 to 12 pieces at a time. And I work in series. For instance, if I do one thing on one piece, then I'll do that all the way down the line to each piece and then go back to another aspect of working on the piece as well. So the time involved requires you mix the clay, then you have to make the pot on the wheel, which is time-consuming because it involves making a cylinder. I throw a 14-inch high cylinder, 14 to 15 inches, and then I have to let it sit for an hour, and then I put a thick coating of slip on it, and then I use a pattern instrument that is used for cake decorating, and that's what I use to do the pattern on the outside. And then once the pattern is done, I have to throw the pot or balloon it out from the inside. Can't touch the outside, otherwise it would mar the wet slip that's on the clay. So I have to form a sphere from the inside of the pot, and by stretching out that pattern, you get effects that you can't get any other way, because when you stretch the pattern out, it takes on a completely different look. And as I mentioned, it's similar to the what you see the pattern nature creates in sand dunes, which is one of my influences. So, and then after all that is done, the pot has to dry, and then you put it into an initial firing called bisque. Then I glaze it with a high-fire glaze and fire that in a gas kiln under reduction. And then when that comes out, the color that you just described that's on the top, which is highly detailed, it's a painting in itself. That's done with a low-fire glaze in an oxidation atmosphere in an electric kiln. for all the technophiles out there who want to know how that's done. So, and to learn to do all of that takes about a 6-month period to figure out the trial and error. I lost many more pots than I got initially in working out the technique to do what you see in the picture.
Is nature an inspiration for many of your pieces?
Oh, yeah. Nature, but, you know, there are others, you know, science, other artists, literature, whatever I happened to be reading at the time, history, philosophy, spiritual values, beer, music, of course. And just to let you know, most days when I'm working in my studio, I'm listening to your program and listening to some of the great music you're playing. So that has an influence as well. You'll notice on the outside of the pots, that pattern that I just described is rhythmic. There's a rhythmic pattern, even though it is irregular. And a lot of times when I make that pattern, I'm thinking of a particular song in mind at the time that my hand is moving, almost like I'm strumming a guitar, and that's how I achieve the pattern.
Are there any particular artists or styles of music that really inspire you?
Oh, well, yes, of course. The artists are legion. And, of course, my taste in the music is eclectic, so it depends on whatever I happen to be into at the time. And other potters especially. I have to give a shout-out to the person who originally got me into this medium, which is Fred Shepard, who was the teacher at Murray while I was an art student there. I know I'm going to not do justice to all the potters I know, but I have to mention the ones that have helped me the most. And Murray Safford's son, Wayne Bates, has been one of the most generous potters I have ever met in terms of teaching me. Harris Deller out of SIU Carbondale, and John Hasegawa, who is running the pottery program in Paducah, has had an influence recently on me. So I absorb all these influences, and then I try to synthesize and produce work that is unique to me and says what I'm trying to say.
Now, of course, your works will be on display through Christmas Eve at the Ruth Bagot Gallery. What is the address of Ruth Bagot's gallery in Paducah?
It is 1025 Jefferson Street, Paducah. Her phone number is 270-210-1924. She has a Facebook site and a website. And she's open during the week from 4 to 7. On Saturday, she's open from 10 to 5. And on Sunday, she's open from 1 to 5.
And
you can always call her and set up an appointment for the hours that she's not there.
Is there another place online where listeners can go and look at some of your works?
Yes, I have a website, craigrhodes.us. And they can go there and see work. I've been so heavily involved in producing recently that I don't have a lot of this recent work up on my website. And plus, I've been without a computer for the past 2 weeks. So as soon as I have a respite, I'm going to update my website. But a lot of work is on there still. So you can get an idea of what I've been doing over the years. I've been doing this since I was about 17. So I'm almost 70.
A few years now, then.
Yeah, a few years.
Well, Craig, your work is beautiful. I hope people take advantage of the opportunity to go to the Ruth Bagot Gallery and see it. And I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the opportunity.
Craig Rhodes is a ceramicist. His works are on display at the Ruth Bagot Gallery in Paducah until December 24th. You're with Murray State's 91.3 WKMS. We sound good because of listeners like you.